da 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 da
da da da da.
It's a couple of minutes before 9 o'clock at 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for this next hour of programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's time now, though, for Talking Animals on KUCI. We'll be right back. That's music from R.E.M. with a song called, fittingly enough, Animal. As we slide into today's special Memorial Day edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. And streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada, the whole, I don't know, insert your own sweeping, encompassing word like that, is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duckett Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Not only do you respond to news items and commentary, and later on with our guest Pat Derby, which we'll get into more in a moment, but she'll be on and we'll be able to take your calls as well. But also, that's the number for calling in donations to the KUCI Fund Drive. Today's the last day, and we really, really need you to kind of pour it on at the last minute. We need to make a stretch run of some kind, if I can use that sort of term. And even if I can't, really. So we're going to get a bit more into the fund drive and the details momentarily. But again, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI is how you can reach us for a myriad of reasons. But either way, we love to get calls here at Talking Animals, and other ways to be in touch with us include emailing us at talkinganimals@aol.com and checking out our website, talkinganimals.net. Again, that's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another invigorating edition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But, of course, we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, through comedy, and other means as well. We aim for a smooth balance of those elements, but clearly the heart of the program, and nearly every show we broadcast, by the way, is archived on our nifty website at talkinganimals.net, is the interview that we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today, our guest is Pat Derby, truly a major, internationally recognized figure in the animal world, a former Hollywood animal trainer, author of, among other books, The Lady and Her Tiger, a memoir largely recounting those experiences training animals for showbiz nearly 30 years ago, and then some probably, who then went on to found the Performing Animal Welfare Society, or PAWS, which operates three animal sanctuaries in Northern California, including a 2,300-acre facility called ARC 2000. And ARC 2000 is currently home to five elephants, future home to the remaining 39 tigers, now living at Tiger Rescue, and location of the recent War on Wildlife conference, which gathered animal experts and advocates from this country and around the world. So we really greatly look forward to speaking with Pat Derby in a few minutes. And again, we'll be joining us live, of course, so we'll be happy to take your calls and incorporate that into the conversation. Should be cool. So meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for a weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, if you've got an event or a fundraiser coming up that we should know about, observation, of course, any news stories you might have spotted, that all be most welcome. The number is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international news stories. About animals, of course, that of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We'll also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So, alright, as we like to say, let's talk turkey, as it were. Now, first of all, it's not really animal news, but it's news, and it's very important to us here at Talking Animals, and of course, KUCI, and that's that we are in the final day of the annual fund drive. So what I'd really, really like to urge you to do is just to take a minute, call us up here if you can, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, if you want to look at your phone pad that way, feel free. And we've got at least one cool guy, Daniel, there to answer the calls to take your pledges and donations over the phone. Alternatively, and some people prefer this, you can also do it online. If you go to our website, www.kuci.org, at the very top of the site, there's a little cool space that says how to donate. You click on that, and you can get a secured form to donate to KUCI. So really, again, you know, we're non-commercial. We're non-profit, obviously. So we really, really kind of rely very heavily on the contributions that we ask just one time a year. And again, this year the station moved, which was no small hassle and expense, and of course it's still going on. We're getting in, settled into our cool new digs. We had to buy a new transmitter, okay, no small expense. And, you know, just general day-to-day operation of the station. I mean, really, I think between one and maybe two at the most people get paid anything here. And the rest of us are all volunteers. So, again, your contributions would go to just keeping the station running and keeping all the cool music programming that we provide. And, of course, also the public affairs and talk shows like Talking Animals. I mean, you're not going to find shows like Talking Animals or many, many of the other shows, so both musically and on the public affairs side, anywhere else. I mean, so anything you can do to support us, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And it doesn't have to be strictly altruistic, folks. I mean, if you call in and pledge $30 or more, $30 we sort of consider the basic pledge, and if you could go at least at that level, you get something in return. Yeah, you scratch our back, we scratch yours. Right. So and that might take the form of a CD. Very cool. We have a huge, huge array of CDs. I mean, name your poison, we've got it. From the coolest blues CDs, which I assume Jeff Scott, who follows us here at Talking Animals, helped line up, to you know, the latest from the Strokes and everything in between. So also there might be merchandise. We got T-shirts, KUCI, another kind of T-shirts. We've got tickets to shows, local concerts around town. I think there's still tickets to a very cool comedy show at the Irvine Improv with Daryl Hammond, the guy who plays Rumsfeld and Cheney and, you know, Phil Donahue and a zillion others, and also, you know, it's a great comedian in his own right. We've got concert tickets. I mean, so, anyways, the basic pledge is $30. If you could swing that, that'd be great. If you can swing more, so much the better. And, of course, again, you'll get more cool treats from us by way of saying thanks. So, all the way up to, well, there's no limit in our opinion, and hopefully there's not in yours. So, you can do that again. KUCI.org, secure line, secure form online, or call us 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So, there you go. Please do it. It's our last day. We'd love to have a cool torrential outpouring of contributions, if that's at all possible. So, it's never too late. We're in our final hours. I think it actually stops at noon today, so, so still, we can make a mad dash. You can make a huge rush and make everybody very happy, all right? So call in, help us, do it online, however you like to do it, but do it. Please do it. Please do it. Okay. Have I said please do it? I think so. All right. So otherwise, from the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, Now, this is already sort of into a couple of days of this, but I still think it's important for a variety of reasons. So, the Westfield shopping town today told concerned community members and animal lovers that it would go ahead with hosting the Carson and Barnes Circus this Memorial Day weekend at its Topanga Canyon branch in Canoga Park, California, despite being aware of reports of at least 16 citations given to the circus by the United States Department of Agriculture for failing to meet minimal federal standards for the care of animals using exhibition as established in the Animal Welfare Act. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has cited Carson and Barnes Circus numerous times for failure to provide veterinary care and minimum space, for failure to provide shelter from the elements, for failure to maintain transport trailers, for inadequate ventilation, for unsound fencing that failed to protect spectators and the animals, for rusty animal cages, for giving animals unclean water, and for failure to keep animal care records. Yeah, other than that, they do a nice job, apparently. The Carson and Barnes Animal Circus Animal Care Director was videotaped in 2002 viciously attacking elephants with a bullhook, shocking elephants with an electric prod, and instructing trainers to embed sharp metal hooks into the elephant's flesh until the elephants scream in pain in an effort to force them to obey orders. And this video footage, by the way, is not baloney. In fact, it's readily available from folks at PETA and elsewhere. So, we can go on and say more about that. But the point is, they did go ahead, as far as I know, this weekend, and that includes today. So all I'd like to do is just urge you to not attend that circus. And really, for that matter, do not attend any circus that uses animals. There's tons of great circuses out there that are animal-free, and they do a fantastic job. And if you want to read more about another rather notable circus operation that uses animals and not good in any way, we still have a piece up that we wrote several months ago for the KCI website, but it's on our website, talkinganimals.net. And, it's just awful what happens to these animals. And we won't go into too much more detail now, but please do not patronize circuses that use animals. Just don't. It's bad. It's bad for the animals. You care about animals, you just won't do it. All right? And even if you don't know enough why you don't do it, then there's plenty of places, including starting with that essay on our website, and any kind of basic search will give you lots of info as to why they have an awful, awful life, and that's on their best days. Moving on to a couple things we got from the OCPA, which is the Orange County People for Animals, most recent e-alert. Couple things I wanted to hit there. One deals with the foie gras bill, and you might have heard or read about that. So let me just quickly read that. SB 1520 recently passed the California State Senate, a major victory that would prohibit the production and sale of foie gras in the U.S., parentheses, the cruel force feeding of birds to grossly enlarge their livers. The bill now goes to the California Assembly, so please contact your state assembly members and urge them to vote yes on SB 1520. And you can find out more about that by visiting the Orange County People for Animals website. It's ocpausa.org/legislation. Also, I found this really interesting as a complete elephant nut, and encouraging, frankly. The Detroit Zoo decided to close its elephant exhibit and send the last two elephant residents, Winky and Wanda, to an elephant sanctuary. This is the first time a zoo has acknowledged that elephants are ill-suited for captivity and then voluntarily decided to do the right thing for the animals. Hopefully other zoos will make this ethical and humane decision. We can only hope this will also help educate the public and drive home the fact that wild animals are not meant to spend the majority of their lives in cages for human entertainment. Zoos or circuses, right? It's like a little callback, right? I mean, circuses are really, really bad. Zoos generally somewhat better, but not a whole lot better. And maybe we'll touch on that with Pat Derby in a moment. We'll get into more about her and her expertise momentarily. Don't go away. Also, I found this interesting, just sort of trolling for international stories as well. So in Austria, well, let me just read it to you, actually. Hens will be free to run around barnyards. Lions and tigers will vanish from circus acts. See, starting to see a theme here, aren't we? No, all right. And Dobermans will sport what nature intended, floppy ears and longer tails, under a tough animal rights law adopted Thursday in Austria. Let's get a bit more music under our chatter, don't you think? Yeah, I think so. You always want to hear a little tunage under the chatter. The anti-cruelty law, one of Europe's harshest, will ban pet owners from cropping their dogs' ears or tails, force farmers to uncage their chickens, and ensure puppies and kittens no longer swelter in pet shop windows. Violators will be subject to fines of $2,420, and in case of extreme cruelty, could be fined up to $18,160 and have their animals seized by authorities. Lawmakers, some holding stuffed toy animals, voted unanimously to enact the law, which takes effect in January and will be phased in over several years. So it goes on from there, but that was an Associated Press piece. That was interesting. And this was from Ohio. The Ohio News Network provided this to our Rip and Read news department. A man whose pet lioness attacked his daughter has given away his second big cat. Charles Peters had to shoot and kill Sheba on Friday evening after the lioness wouldn't let go of the arm of Peters' 33-year-old daughter, Lisa Peters. He said he was ready to do the same to Simba. Quote, "My family has to come first," he said. But a volunteer firefighter's chance encounters helped save the male lion's life. Byron Thornton, assistant chief of the Liberty Township Volunteer Fire Department, ran into an animal trainer and exhibitor at a festival Saturday and mentioned the lioness attack. The trainer contacted a colleague at Noah's Lost Ark Animal Sanctuary in Berlin Center, which said it would take Simba. Several hours later, the lion was on its way to Northeast Ohio Refuge. Thornton said he would have hated to see such a beautiful animal destroyed. Charles Peters, who lives about 10 miles east of Southern Ohio, I guess, sorry, said he has kept big cats off and on for about 20 years without a problem. Quote, "I had a tiger that used to pull my granddaughter around by the diaper," he said. Gentle as it could be. But now, he and his wife, Marty, says they're done keeping big cats. Well, thank God, Charles Peters. Nobody should have those kind of cats or any kind of exotic animals as pets, which, again, we'll hopefully get into with Pat Derby momentarily. See, things are hooking in one way or the other, aren't they? They're sort of thematically linked, even if it's only after the fact. All right, it's time now for our sort of mid-animal news quiz. This is simply a true-false one-question quiz, and the first person to call in with the correct answer gets a prize. And as we've noted before, the prizes are they're pretty cool, if I do say so myself. So, some of the newer ones include some cool cat toys that we've got. One's a cat dancer, one's a cat charmer. We also got, we also have a copy of the Liberation CD, which PETA put out, and features Hot Water Music, Goldfinger, The Faint, Good Charlotte, Anti-Flag, The Used, all kinds of others. So you can win that, possibly. And got a copy of Meatless Meals for Working People. We've got books. We've got CDs, other CDs beyond those I've mentioned, T-shirts, stuffed toys, umbrellas, all kinds of cool stuff. So keep that in mind now and later when we're doing Name That Animal Tune. All right, so the question simply is, in Malaysia, where barn owls were introduced to control plagues of rats, each barn owl family killed at least 1,300 rats every year. True or false? In Malaysia, where barn owls were introduced to control plagues of rats, each barn owl family killed at least 1,300 rats every year. True or false? 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. All right, moving along, and momentarily we're going to move into the Comedy Corner and then speak with Pat Derby. So, let's see, this is kind of cool. A wildlife tracking event on Saturday, June 19th, 2004, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. noon. The Mountain Woods and Wildlife Trackers, along with the San Diego Tracking Team and the Fund for Animals, are sponsoring a free workshop on wildlife tracking. The event includes training and wildlife track identification, along with a brief tour of the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. That's, by the way, down in Ramona, where Chuck Tracy normally hangs out and runs with his wife, Cindy, but has, of course, otherwise been, as we talked about many, many times here on Talking Animals, overseeing the day-to-day operation of Tiger Rescue out in Colton. But it's I've never been to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, but I hope to go, and it's like an amazing facility. So, in fact, children 7 or over are welcome. You can take Highway 67 to the light at Highland Valley Road, turn left north to the Fund for Animals. And for more questions or to enroll in the wild tracking events, you can call Ann Hunt, 760-788-9949. 760-788-9949. That's Ann Hunt. So, we're going to see if we have time later to come back to some of these items, but we want to keep things moving so we have plenty of time to speak with Pat and get in everything else we do. So, of course, if there are ever news stories or announcements or events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, any other animal topic that's on your mind. Also, we're starting to run low on quiz questions. You might want to provide those. So anyways, that email again is talkinganimals@AOL.com. I'm also pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, that that the Talking Animals website is some place you should be visiting, if not regularly. So we hope you'll check that out. It's www.talkinganimals.net. That's .net, folks. Again, .net. And sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows. A couple that we got to get updated. We've had a little equipment snafu here at the station, which has delayed that. But other than the last maybe 3 weeks shows or so, everything is archived on there, and there's synopses of everything, and there's other photographs and articles and links to all kinds of organizations, audio pieces and more. So please stop by, take a look around the site again. It's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step in the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which as always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. For better or worse, he's been in the news a lot lately, but this is Bill Cosby with the final portion of a piece called Animal Stories on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
I sure would love to own and train a gorilla. No, really, a really big gorilla. Really big, nasty, dirty. I ain't gonna clean him up, not make him take bath, let him have lice and fleas and all kind of bugs on him, because he's gonna protect my house. And think of the thrill some dude's gonna get coming in my window, going to get my furniture, when he turns around and there's a 6'9", 840-pound gorilla with lice and fleas and all kind of things, gonna kiss him to death. And have three little pigs following the gorilla wherever he goes. Did you hear this dude's story in jail when the guy said, "Well, how'd you get busted?" "You ain't gonna believe this, but I broke in this guy's house and there was this gorilla with lice and fleas and three pigs following." "You're in the wrong place, fella."
All right, that was Bill Cosby with the last portion of a bit called Animal Stories, taken from his CD entitled The Best of Bill Cosby. The Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Struss, and you are indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the Internet at www.kuci.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way as we speak. And some of you perhaps arrived there through our swell website at talkinganimals.net. And again, please support this kind of programming and others by donating. The last day is the KUCI Fund Drive, www.kuci.org. There's an online secure form that you can donate that way, or over the phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. And while we get today's guest, Pat Derby, on the phone with us, this is as good a time as any to hear an animal tune. This is Duke Ellington with Jack the Bear on Talking Animals, KUCI. Thank you. right, that's Duke Ellington with Jack the Bear on KUCI. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Pat Derby, truly a major figure in the animal world. From her stint decades ago as a Hollywood animal trainer, recounted in her acclaimed memoir, The Lady and Her Tiger, to co-founding in 1984 the Performing Animal Welfare Society, or PAWS, which operates three animal sanctuaries in Northern California, including a 2,300-acre facility called ARC 2000. We can't possibly cover all the important, notable Pat Derby ground in our allotted time today, but let's delve into what we can by welcoming Pat Derby to Talking Animals. Are you there, Pat?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Talking Animals.
Thank you.
Thanks for making the time. I know that you're scrambling to get tiger enclosures finished, which we'll touch on a little bit momentarily, but basically, there are so many things I kind of alluded to that you've done and accomplished and been involved with in the animal world that, again, we just can't possibly probably hit them all. But I think it's incumbent on us to, in this case especially, to kind of start at the beginning, because I really often feel it's interesting and useful to hear about someone's history, the path that led them to their work with animals. Some people was always almost prescribed, and some were kind of surprised to find themselves there. So let's start with, where did you grow up, and did you sort of grow up with animals from the get-go?
Oh, yes. I'm a fourth-generation vegetarian, the daughter of a father who wouldn't kill a fly. So I grew up with great respect and reverence for animals and all life. And actually, when I started working with animals, it was a great shock to me that people who worked with animals didn't have that same sort of philosophy, that it was indeed just a business and animals were considered to be the tools of the trade.
Wow. And just backing up a little bit before that, Pat, do you remember, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you come from a long line of animal people, but do you remember, like, was there sort of a first significant animal encounter or experience where even though that was the sort of the backdrop is a lot of reverence for animals, where it just sort of felt powerful and magical, where you just thought, man, this is a really strong connection here?
Well, actually, the opening line of my book is, it has to begin with elephants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. From the moment that I can remember, my earliest memories were always of being fascinated by elephants and wanting to see them and be near them. And my poor father would drag me all over trying to find elephants for me to see and be near.
Wow, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, there is something about elephants and elephant people. You know, you don't even have to describe it, and other people say, well, God, there's cats, there's this and that, which they're all great, but there's just something really sort of singular and powerful about elephants, I think, as an elephant freak myself. So, but can you sort of chart for us then the path that led from that childhood and your dad taking around to see elephants and other animals that led ultimately then into animal training in Hollywood?
Well, actually, the animal training and was really something I just backed into. I was an actress and a singer and a dancer, and I, you know, was very young and worked with a couple of ballet companies, then did a Broadway show that brought me to California, and then I started, you know, just working at little small acting jobs, and I worked on a TV show where they had animals, and I was just amazed. There were little baby mountain lions they were using for a Disney movie, and they had painted stripes on them to make them look like tiger cubs. And they, you know, the trainers, they were very young and they needed to be bottle fed, and the trainers were feeding them cold bottles. And I sort of said, you know, I'll feed them for you if you like. And I started warming the milk. And one of the trainers said, you really should volunteer at the animal place. It was a place at that time called Gentle Jungle. And it was anything but that.
Yeah.
And I started volunteering there and became so fascinated with all the animals that I ended up spending more and more time there and less at my real jobs. And finally, I got a job there. And that's, it really, I just sort of backed into it. It was never a calculated plan.
Sure. And Pat, then, so it sounds like, even though you come from a long line of family was a long line of animal lovers, and you're a fourth generation vegetarian, as you say, it sounds like there was sort of a gap from the time that you were sort of growing up and your dad was taking you around to see animals till the time that you described where you were pursuing kind of more of a showbiz career yourself. And then kind of, as you say, backed into. So were you not really having any direct experience with animals during that interim period?
Oh, just domestic animals.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was one of those people who any bird that fell out of a nest, she was feeding it.
Yeah.
But that was it, totally it. I always had dogs and domestic animals.
Sure,
but my
sure.
first experience was working for that animal company.
Right. And so I guess those in your autobiography, The Lady and Her Tiger, you really do chronicle a pretty long string of hair-raising tales, really. I mean, you already mentioned painting the stripes on. And I mean, all these years later, what's the sort of best and worst thing? I mean, there's probably no shortage of worst things about those years of animal training, because it sounded like you were just increasingly sort of horrified even as you were kind of finding your way through.
Well, actually, probably the best thing about it was I gained all of my knowledge and experience on all the things that people do wrong.
Sure, yeah.
And I tell keepers who work at PAWS today, you know, you actually are not getting a good experience because you're working in a really good atmosphere.
Where
you don't
know
have
to
worry
do.
About monkeys freezing to death in the winter. You don't have to worry about cages being flooded with water.
Mm.
You don't have to worry about animals being sick and not getting medicine.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And but from those experiences, you learn so much. I always say, you never learn anything from doing all the right things. You learn everything from all the mistakes and the wrong things that either you do or you're involved with having happen.
Sure, sure. No, absolutely. I mean, it sounds like it was highly educational at that moment, because and just to let some of our listeners know who might not know, I mean, some of the work really was quite recognizable you're doing at the time. I mean, Gunsmoke, Lassie, Doctari, Flipper, of course the Lincoln Mercury Cougar, others too. And also, let me remind our listeners that this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI, and our guest is Pat Derby from the Performing Animal Welfare Society, or PAWS. And Pat, if someone were to call in, would you want to take a question or two if someone happened to call in?
Sure.
Okay, great. So you can get in on the conversation by calling us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI. KUCI. Also, Pat, the memoir is really laced with anecdotes about people who are sort of well-meaning, and sometimes not so well-meaning, who would spook or annoy or otherwise demonstrate they just had no flair for working with animals, and you sort of equate it with being tone-deaf. This kind of re-raises a question I've been pondering for some time. Are animal people born, or to what extent can they be made?
Well, I think you can train people to do all of the right things, but having an instinct for how an animal feels and really what's going on in his head is that's something that people are born with.
Mm-hmm. So you can make a pretty decent animal person even if they don't have that kind of innate gift, but if they do and they get the proper training, then you really got something, it sounds
right.
Like. Yeah.
Well, actually, there's a good example in the elephant world. In the days that I first started working with elephants, everybody used a bull hook. Everybody dominated elephants. Everybody hit elephants. Mm. Everybody yelled at elephants. And the minute I got my first baby elephant, and she was looking at me like I was the only one in the world who was going to protect her and care for her, I said, you know what? I could never hit this elephant.
Yeah.
There is no way I could ever hurt her and break that trust. And, you know, I started, I mean, it was not in my nature to hurt an animal. But in those days, everybody did, particularly with elephants. Mm. Now, today, I've met a lot of people, and I've worked with a lot of people, and I've encouraged a lot of people to change. People who brutalized elephants, I mean, chained them up, had them doing roller skating acts, whatever. And I've talked them into moving to a kinder, gentler way.
Yeah.
But I always think, what in the world went on in your mind and your heart that would ever allow you to do that to them in the first place?
Yeah, no.
Why did you need to have an epiphany?
Right. No, it's and it's interesting because, I mean, in our little news segment before we brought you on the line here, you know, among other things happening lately, locally this weekend, Carson and Barnes is playing, not right in our backyard, but close enough. And so I was sort of talking about that and just the string of charges that they face for still now treating elephants that way, you know.
Right.
And conversely, another part of the news segment was the Detroit Zoo making that decision to stop presenting elephants altogether, which is really notable and you know, obviously a great step. So if you love elephants, yeah, it's just anything, but like you say, Pat, it's just hard to imagine like what sort of prompted that to begin with. But and what is it that sort of on a related note makes people want to have, you know, not the people beating elephants obviously, but other people want to have a connection or a relationship with the wild animal to the extent where you actually, you know, people do have that tiger in their backyard? Or, I mean, is there something, because even I who know better, I mean, I understand it. I mean, I would love to have a relationship with an elephant, but I mean, I'm not going to go get an elephant and have my backyard in Costa Mesa, but what is that? There's some sort of powerful drive that, again, makes people sort of throw common sense, obviously, right out the door.
Well, I think a lot of it is an extension of ego. It's like wanting to have a pit bull or a really mean dog. It's kind of a status symbol to certain people.
Mm.
Most people, I know so many people who have domestic dogs and cats, want what's best for the animal. And, you know, those are the good animal people. They want the animal to have the best of all possible lives. Then there are people, and it's an extension of the animal trainer. They're not the tools of their trade, but they are the tools of their life. I want to have a dog riding in the back of a pickup truck. And, well, maybe I could have a mountain lion or a tiger. It's that possession, that ownership that I think people, it's hard for people to make the connection that you can love a wild mountain lion out in the wild. You don't have to touch him. You don't have to feel him. You don't have to be right in his faith to know he's there and to love the fact that he's there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that causes zoos to go so badly in the wrong direction, is they keep that mantra that people have to see and have a close-up experience with an animal before they can truly appreciate it.
Mm.
And my comment always is, well, look at all the people who love God, and they can't touch him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. Now, by the end of the autobiography, which was published nearly, I guess, 30 years ago, you weren't necessarily out of the training world, but you seemed to be tunneling out, and you'd certainly lost the stomach for it. So sort of what fill in that gap sort of post-training or the end of the book into the formation of Pause Force, if you would?
Well, actually, at the end of the book, I was doing the Lincoln Mercury commercial, and I was their spokesperson. And then the book came out, and I actually was doing a Lincoln Mercury show in Cleveland, and I met Ed Stewart. And he helped me with the Cougar. His brother was my boss at the Cleveland Auto Show, and Ed came to California, and I was getting ready to do a book tour for the book, and Ed went on one film set with me, a Grizzly Adams show, and he said, "Man, I see why you hate this. Why do we even do it? Let's not do it." And I said, "Yeah, I hate it too." So then we started thinking about what we could do, and we bought a resort in Mendocino in a little town called Leggett. And we were going to let all the animals that belonged to me just sort of live out their lives. And we were going to have our little resort in the Redwoods. Hmm. And that basically was what we did until a young Hollywood animal trainer read my book and drove all the way up there to tell me about some really horror stories that were happening in Hollywood and asked me to help. And so we formed PAWS, and we actually thought, silly us, that we were going to form PAWS. It would take us more than maybe like 3 or 4 years to change the system, and then we'd go back to the Redwoods.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
but
didn't quite turn out that way.
No, yeah. We moved to Sacramento to get legislation passed to set higher standards for the keeping of captive wildlife. And while we were in Sacramento, animal control and everybody kept bringing us animals because we were in a place that was zoned for lions and tigers. And, you know, if animals were confiscated, they would bring them to us. And then we found Mara, a baby elephant, in San Jose. And then we found 71, and the die was cast. If you have an elephant, you're not going to go back to the Redwoods.
Yeah, that seems like that you're sort of locked in there, and so it's in you're sort of based in Galt. And just for our listeners who might not know, where exactly is Galt? I mean, that's like south of.
It's south of Sacramento, about 15 miles.
And then from there, just over time, you just found yourself kind of being, I'm sure, contacted about taking other animals and helping others who had similar plights.
And it has always been our philosophy. If you're not trying to stop the problem, then you are the problem.
Sure.
For us to just keep taking animals, it's like enabling, you're allowing people who use animals and get animals to say, "Oh, well, they'll go to a sanctuary when we're finished." You know?
Yeah, right.
So we've always said we are going to work full bore on the problem. But as we began to really see how complex the whole idea of ownership of these animals is and how pervasive the exotic animal industry is, we realized that as laws got stronger and there was better enforcement, there would be more animals with nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So actually, we began looking for a bigger place. The simplistic idea being, well, we'll get a real big place. We'll start getting these laws enforced. We'll take the animals out there, but we'll be stopping the problem. And to a certain extent, it's true. A lot of smaller circuses, for instance, Carson and Barnes, when we first started with Paws, they traveled with about 20 elephants, a couple of giraffes, a rhino, a pygmy hippo, a huge menagerie. Now I understand they're down to about 4 or 5 elephants and a very small menagerie.
So it's progress.
It is progress.
Yeah.
And a couple of the traveling shows that had huge groups of elephants have now phased most animals out except for horses and acts like that.
Yeah.
So we are seeing some progress.
Well, that's, boy, that's great. And of course, it also charted over, well, at least 20 years' time since you formed PAW. And I guess at this point now, am I right that there's about, between the three sanctuaries that you and Ed operate, there's about 60 some odd animals, including, 5 elephants and a handful of, tigers and other big cats?
Right. It's soon to be quite a few more tigers.
Yeah.
That.
Well, of course, on this show, we've talked a lot about tiger rescue, and I've always been trying to sort of drum up volunteers to go, help out Chuck Tracy. And it's been an amazing battalion of volunteers as it is. But yeah. So I guess in the next couple of weeks, those 39 remaining tigers, I guess, move to.
Well, we're starting.
Or doing it kind of half and half, kind of, or.
We're bringing them in phases. We're bringing compatible groups up.
Pat, sorry, can you hold on 1 second? It looks like we might have a caller. Would you mind holding 1 sec? See if somebody wants to join us. Hi, you're on the air live with Pat Derby. It's Talking Animals on KUCI.
Yes, I have a call and a question for Pat Derby.
Oh, great. She's there. Go ahead.
Should I go ahead?
Yeah.
Well, Pat, I've been listening to your discussion here, and it's so inspiring. I wanted to know about your book. Is it still available, or do you know where it can be had?
Yes, you can still get it on the PAWS website. That's pawsweb.org.
Pawsweb.org, okay, I've got
and
that.
And the name of the book is The Lady and Her Tiger.
The Lady and Her Tiger. Well, I do appreciate it, and thank you very much, and you're doing an awesome job. It's so wonderful to hear you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling.
Okay,
Pat, so sorry. So, yeah, I guess what we were talking about is that so the tigers are sort of being gradually.
Yes, we're trying, you know, any move for any animal is not a rescue, it's a trauma.
Sure.
Even if they're going to the most beautiful place in the world. And these cats have, you know, suffered a lot. So we're bringing 8 that are compatible up at one time. We're getting them settled. And then we'll go back and get another 10 and get them settled.
That's great.
And we're trying to do it so there's not this mass movement and they're all getting crazy.
Crazy and stressed and stuff, yeah. And believe me, I had the good fortune of seeing the, it's not quite done, but I know you guys are scrambling. And that's another reason I appreciate you joining us today on Talking Animals to finish the new habitat. But it's just gorgeous. I mean, it's 10 acres.
Yeah.
And just a perfect setup. These tigers are going to be just so bonkers with joy to live there, you know.
Well, the good news is, Ed and I never think we have enough space. So here at ARC 2000, in another year, Ed will be out there opening up another area for them.
I'm sure. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you must be already sort of besieged with requests. Hey, can you take these animals? Can you take those animals?
We are.
And how does that, I mean, how do you kind of sift through those
Well, it's really hard,
mm-hmm.
and I have to give Fund for Animals credit. They fundraised the money to build this area.
I see.
And they donated that to PAWS. And now, of course, we've got to feed these cats for
right.
life. But the initial, when you start giving animals acres of land, you're spending a lot more money than you do when you're building a cage.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
it's all dependent. We really want to develop an African lion area because right now I'm besieged with requests
sure.
for African lions. So we do grant proposals, and every so often somebody leaves us their will, and wills and bequests, when they pop in, they immediately go to expansion.
Yeah, right. That's funneled right directly there, I'm sure. Yeah.
Right.
Well, Pat, we're just about at the end of our time, and I hope that you'll, we can persuade you somehow to join us another time, because there's just so many other things I would love to find out about, including the plight of elephants and just so much of the educational and research elements of ARC-2000. But first of all, a couple things I do want to hit in our remaining moment. A, as we mentioned before, you mentioned to our caller, the website is pawsweb.org, and it's a great website, and you can learn a lot more about some of these issues and get Pat's book, which I highly recommend, and just any number of other things. Another important event coming up is Kim Basinger. I mean, you have so many great supporters, some higher profile than others, but Kim Basinger seems to be one of the most fervent PAWS supporters around.
She's been a great friend for 10 years now.
Yeah, and I think it was even a news story that she recently auctioned off or sold off some of her jewelry, and those proceeds went right to PAWS. But also coming up June 22nd, she's doing a nice thing in the Southern California area that's sort of to raise money for PAWS and ARC-2000, and also as a nice nod to Kim and her longstanding support. So people could also find out more about that on the website as well, I assume, right?
Right.
Yeah. Great, Pat. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals, and again, taking another slice out of your time when you should be scrambling. I know you're scrambling to get those tiger enclosures done, but we really appreciate it, and we hope you'll join us again on Talking Animals.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Pat. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Pat Derby from PAWS, and again, the website is pawsweb.org, and it's the Performing Animal Welfare Society. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI and Irvine, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. It's time to play Name That Animal Tune, and just like any other Name That Tune version you'd care to mention, except this one, the tunes are always animal-related. So I'll play a snippet of this tune. There'll be a prize. I mentioned all the cool prizes earlier in the show. For the first caller who correctly identifies the song, or the artist in this case. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI.
My mother said, my little pet, you want to learn the alphabet. So in my soup I used to get all the letters of the alphabet. I learned them all from A to Z. And now my mother's giving me animal crackers in my soup, monkeys and rabbits, loop the loop. Gosh, oh gee, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. Every bowl of soup I see, lions and tigers watching me. I make them jump right through a hoop, those animal crackers in my soup. When I get hold of the big fat wolf, I just push him on a tree.
Hi, you're on live on KUCI. Can you name that animal tune? Hi, you're on live on KUCI. Can you name that animal tune?
Is it animal crackers?
It is animal crackers. Do you know the full name?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, what's your name?
Doris.
Doris. All right. Well, do you have any animals that live with you, Doris?
Yeah, I have a cat. Two cats, actually.
Cool. Well, we're running short on time. Otherwise, we'd like to chat more about those and about you. But if you email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, we will get you set up on your prize for winning Name That Animal 10.
Thank you. I love your show.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so, folks, it's... We've definitely reached the end of this edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest, Pat Derby, for joining us today on Talking Animals. And again, that website is pawsweb.org. I also want to thank you all for listening and for the phone calls we received. I hope you'll join us next week on Talking Animals. We have a number of wonderful guests slated to join us in the coming weeks, ranging from the executive chef of the Native Foods California vegan restaurant, who talked to us about veggie cooking and do some in the studio here, to the woman who trained the dog who played Eddie on Frasier, and she trained several other animals, all of which are rescue animals, by the way. So we don't know exactly which guests will join us on Talking Animals next week. We hope you will. That's next Monday, June 7th. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, also has a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. So when you have a chance, please check it out. And I want to urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. And when you get there, please sign up for our email list. We can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. And please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. It's a great, great blues show here on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And at the moment, be kind to us here at KUCI. Phone in for the fun drive, 949-824-5824. Or do it online at kci.org. This is a secure form where you can donate online. Please help us out. It's the last day of the drive, the last few hours, in fact. Any amount would be appreciated. Thanks so much. And I guess that's about it. As always, we're closing things out here with an animal-related tune. This is the Hot Club of Cowtown with a piece called The Wild Dog. We'll see you next week on Talking Animals. Jeff's here. I saw him through the window, so it won't be long before it's the Blues Disease with Jeff Scott, but he might have gotten away late, or maybe some cool person's calling in a contribution and you're speaking to them. So again, don't miss this chance to help out with the fund drive. It's KUCI.org, or it's 949-824-5824, so I'm sure Jeff will be with you momentarily, and we'll see you next week on Talking Animals.
this is Knockout Greg from Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and you're listening to Jeff Scott, infecting you with the blues disease.